me this morning to the first chapter of the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 1. Let me read those first five verses. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Now, this is a literal and accurate account or description of God's first day of work in the creation of the world. Accurate account. If we believe God, then we have no problems with creation, how it came about. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. It didn't just happen. It just did not evolve through some progressive means, but it was instantaneous. God created the heavens and the earth. I don't want to speak to you this morning concerning the first creation, but I want to direct your attention to the second creation. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. So there's a first creation, and there's a second creation. Every person who is saved by the grace of God is a new creation. Every single solitary person that knows God in Christ has been born of the Spirit of God, has been born from above, and he's a new creation. That's what we want to talk about. New creation. New creature in Christ Jesus. Notice here in these verses that I read unto you, it gives us the state of the world at that time. It says that the world was without form and void. Such is the state of the human heart by nature. By nature, all of us are dead in trespasses and in sins. By nature, that's the way we are. And it come about because of the consequences of the first Adam, who was our representative, who sinned against God and fell from his high and lofty state. So the state of the world, the Scriptures say, is without form and void. And I think that the first creation is typical of the second creation. The human heart is without form and void. And it says darkness was upon the face of the earth. And again, such is the state of the human heart. Every human heart, you think of it, this is a tremendous statement. Every human heart, till God, the Holy Spirit, visits that heart, as for spiritual things, in the realm of the Spirit, the human heart is like the world was, without form and void and darkness, was upon the face of the deep. The human heart is in a state of disorder and chaos. That's the true picture of you and I by nature. Prior to light, prior to being visited by God, there's no thought whatsoever in the human heart of faith or love or obedience or truth. None whatsoever. It's a place, spiritually that is, not naturally. It's a place spiritually of a confused mass of dead sinfulness. That's our picture. He said, and the earth was without form and void. That's the way we are. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. It was utterly void, empty. And Paul confirms the emptiness and the darkness and the confusion and the nothingness and the hopelessness of the human heart. When he said that he had searched his own heart, and he said, as a result of his search, a thorough search, through and through, he said, there is no good thing in the human heart. There's nothing good in the flesh. There's no light in the flesh. Darkness dwells there. He said, literally, I know in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Dark, dark, dark is the whole of humanity. Every single solitary member of Adam's race by nature is in darkness. The whole world, whether it be the scientist, the educators, the statesmen, the politicians, those that have been reared and raised to be ungodly and unholy, those that practice sin without any remorse, those that are full of evil and wickedness, the educators and the scientists, and all depraved humankind, if you could take them one by one You could say there's no light in them. If you rolled them all up together and made one out of the whole, there's not a spark of spiritual light in any of them or in all of them put together. That's the state and condition of Adam's fallen race. Not a spark of life. Not a flicker of life. Like the flicker of a candle. Not a flicker of light in their dark souls. And if there is a flicker of light in them, it's because it came from above. If there's a flicker of light in any of us gathered here this morning, it's because it came from above. It's because God said, "Let there be light." If we have any light this morning, it's the result of what God said, "Let there be light." We're like unto this world without form or void, empty, utterly empty. Darkness prevails. If you can form a picture of that state as to the world, then you can form a picture as to the state of what you and I are by nature. Not a flicker of light in us. And there'll be no light in us until God visits us and says to our souls, "Let there be light." That's how hopeless and helpless humankind is. I want you to notice that the first action in connection with the formation and shaping of this world was this. It says that the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. If the Spirit of God had not moved upon the face of the waters, upon the face of the deep, they would be as he hath described them. Darkness, without shape or without form. But God moved. God, the Holy Spirit, moved upon the face of the waters. And the secret work of the Holy Spirit of God in our lives begins in the human heart. Now, we cannot say for sure when the Spirit moves and how the Spirit moves, but we can say for sure that if there's ever any light in our souls, it's because the Spirit of God moved upon our soul. Just as the Spirit of God moved here in connection with the shaping of the first creation. If this is how it happened in the first creation, this is the way it's going to happen in the second creation. It's got to be of God. The Bible says there in the third chapter of the book of Genesis, when I said that the Holy Spirit begins in the human heart, I said we can't say for sure how or when. And I based that upon the third chapter of the book of John, where it says, "The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof." The wind blows, and you hear the sound of the wind, but cannot tell whence it cometh, or you cannot tell whence it goeth. the Spirit of God in moving on our hearts is like that. Well, so is everyone that's born of the Spirit. In the hearts, in the soul, in the minds of the people of God, the chosen people of God, the elect people of God, the Spirit works mysteriously and silently, but He works effectually in the hearts of His chosen people. He mysteriously quickens the dead heart, and He excites the emotions and the desires of that dead heart. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Now, when we're saved, that's how we're saved. We're saved because we have light. Because our emotions and our affections and our desires are moved, and they're only moved by God. God looked upon the darkness and determined that He would transform the shapeless chaos of the world and make it into a fair and lovely world. That's what God determined. And He said, "Let there be light." And instantaneous, right now, there was light. Light be. Light was. And that's the way it happened. God's, it seems to me, that God's plan for sustaining animal life and for sustaining vegetable life rendered light necessary. Without light, vegetable life and animal life cannot survive. Light is essential to life. There's very few operations, and I tried to think of some and I thought of one. There's very few operations which can be carried on in the world at all without some degree of light. And I'm sure, absolutely sure that no soul or no heart can be saved without spiritual light. Now, I was trying to think of some operation in this world that could grow and have vitality without light. And the only thing I could think of was growing mushrooms. I don't know that you have to have light to grow mushrooms. They grow them in a dark place. But that's the only operation that I know of that you can say they didn't have light. Well, light is essential, isn't it? What would we do without light? Got to have light. If a man doesn't have light in a spiritual sense, he cannot perceive his lost estate before God if he doesn't have light. That's the reason why that there are so many multiplied millions of people living right now at this time who do not have the slightest indication of who they are. That is, they don't know that they're sinners. They don't know that they're lost before God. They have some indication that they're not any worse than other people. They have that light, that indication that they can conclude, well, I'm no worse than others are. And what wrong I've done, and they certainly use the word wrong rather than say sin, but they say what wrong I have done certainly is not that offensive. Certainly God somehow can take care of that and show mercy. He's a God of mercy. But they don't understand what sin is and who sin is against. This principle of sin is against God Himself. And a man who has no light does not know what his lost estate is. Neither does he know the exceeding sinfulness of sin and the consequence of the sinfulness of his sin. It's because he has no light. And he will never understand or perceive his lost estate by nature until he has light. Light is necessary for life. He must have life or light as to who he is, what his condition is, and the darkness in which he lives. He's got to have that. And light must come. And the preacher can't give light. And mother or father can't give light. Educators can't give life. Ceremonies can't give life. We have multiplied millions of people this morning in places that they meet to worship, who think they can be educated into light. You can't be educated into the light of God. Because those who are trying to educate you have no light. And they cannot convey light when they have no light. And even if they had light, they cannot convey that light. Only God can convey light. Multiplied millions of people today believe, and their hope, the only hope they got, is that they've obeyed some form of doctrine. That they have lended themselves to some ceremony, religious or otherwise. There's a whole community of people who believe that their baptism saves them, that they get light from baptism. Some believe that they get light from observing certain ordinances of the church, like the Lord's Supper. They partake of that. Well, just as educators cannot convey light, baptism or the Lord's Supper or other religious ceremonies cannot convey light. If they could convey light, then there's no need of life and light. If they can do it, but they can't do it because the first creation is typical of the second creation. And God must visit our helpless and hopeless souls and say to us, let there be light. I cannot convey light. Light does not proceed from my word. I have prayed many and many a time. I have prayed for the conversion of people. Conversion of members of my own family. Members of your family. And some of you I have prayed for this morning, that you be converted. Prayer in itself is nothing. Prayer is something in that it connects us with God. But prayer alone in itself cannot convey light. I can pray. I can pray till my lips and throat is dry, that you might be converted. But unless God says, let there be light in his soul, man will never be converted. God's got to say it. You say you make it hard. I'm not making it hard. I'm just telling you exactly the way it is. Let me read something to you here in the book of Thessalonians, chapter 1, I believe. Let me read this. First Thessalonians chapter 1. Listen to what it says. It says, verse 3. Well, first he says, we give thanks to God always for you all. That is, these brethren and sisters of the church of the Thessalonians, we thank God. We give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in all of our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and your labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. Your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only. Now see, I say the ordinances of the church can't convey light. Baptism has nothing to do with light or the Lord's Supper or ceremonies or works that you perform in order to gain God's favor and attention. They cannot convey light. The preacher cannot convey light. He cannot bring about light to your dead soul. He can't do it. For our gospel came not unto you in word. I've preached the biggest part of my life in word only. There must be God the Holy Spirit accompanying that word to make that word effectual. Not unto you in word only. It just didn't. That is, you could read about it. You can read the Bible. You can read the entire account of the four Gospels. You could read what John said, Matthew said, Mark said, Luke said. You could read all of that in word only. You could see pictures of the wounds of the Lord Jesus Christ. You could see pictures of the blood streaming down his shoulder and his back and his head and the wound in his side. But unless that is accompanied with the power of God, you'll not have a spark of light. Not one spark of light. Well, listen. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power. The word has got to be accompanied with the power of the Spirit before it's effectual. God's got to give you light to find out who you are. No man will ever be saved until he finds out that he's a sinner. Now he can discover that by the light. They are two facts that cannot be argued as to what the light dispenses. And the first thing the light brings unto a dead man's soul is that he finds out who he is, and secondly, he finds out that he can't save himself. And when he finds that out, he'll start moving in the right direction. But he'll never be saved until he finds out he's lost. When he finds out he's lost in the first Adam and saved in the second Adam, progress is being made. But he's got to find that out. He's got to find that out. Got to do it no other way. One of the first operations of the Spirit of God in a man's heart is to give light enough to see his lost estate and to understand or perceive that he cannot save himself, but he must look elsewhere in order to be saved. Now, I ask you this question, and directed at myself as well. Have you light enough to look to Him, the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you light enough to look to Him and to be saved? Leaving all your vain boasting and all your hopes in yourself, and having Him as your all and in all. Have you that light? That you can look to Him and Him alone to be saved. And renounce all your efforts and your so-called good deeds. Renounce them all. Cast them aside. And look to Him and to Him alone. I myself have come to this conclusion. I have no right to believe myself to be a new creature in Christ Jesus at all unless I have received light enough to know these two indisputable truths. That I am lost in Adam and saved in the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you that light? Have you that light? It's a divine work. To have that light is the result of a divine work. God must do that work. God must turn the light on in our souls, or it'll never be turned on. Doesn't make any difference if we go to church every service. Every service, never miss a service all of our lives. If we believe that we can work our way into that light, there's not a spark of life or light in us. It's God. He's got to create that light. Just as He looked upon this world without form and without shape. And the darkness prevailed. He said, I'll change this awful thing and make it a fair place to live and to look. And he said, let there be light. And all at once there was light. And there was blooms and flowers and blossoms and loveliness everywhere. Light's got to come from Him. It's a divine work, a work of God. And I've told you that I've bowed my heart and bowed my soul and bowed my knees before God many and many and many and many a time for the conversion of a soul. And I said that prayer has power because it connects us, it links us to God. But prayer in itself has none. This light is a work of God and God alone. Only God can bring about this light. Our prayers can do nothing until God says, let there be light. You can talk of free will if you want to. And you can believe whatever your creature ability can do, as far as I'm concerned. But your free will and your natural creature ability can do nothing for you but plunge you deeper and deeper into the recesses of darkness. It's only as God says, let there be light, can we have any comfort and consolation. God must say it. We're shut up to the sovereignty of God, aren't we? People don't like to believe that God's sovereign on the throne, doing what He wants to do, when He wants to do it, how He wants to do it, and to whom He wants to do it to. Men don't believe that. That's not fair. Everybody's got to have a chance. This business of being a new creation in Christ Jesus is not by chance. It's by the grace of God. And it comes from God. And God alone must do it, or it'll never be done. Listen. This divine work is wrought by God Himself. Now, God did not, there in the beginning, sit in solemn silence and create the light. But He spoke. He spoke. He wasn't there with His head down in the solemnity of silence and create light. He didn't do that. He spoke and said, let there be light. And there was light. And He speaks through the Word to us. If I preach my own light and my own word, there'll be no light that goes with it. I've got to preach Christ and Him crucified. It's been said that one sermon full of Christ is worth 100,000 sermons where He's left out. Far better to preach one. Now listen, you can take a dead corpse. And the undertaker does. I stayed with an undertaker one time. And he insisted that I go down into his basement and see where he works. I didn't want to go. But he was good enough to furnish me a place to sleep that night. And I felt obligated to him to go down and at least look it over. And he showed me these places and the things that he used, the straps that he used to hold the corpse up, and the table and the hoses and all that. I had no interest whatsoever in it. But I drew this conclusion, that he could wash that corpse as long as he wanted to. And he could make that corpse clean. He could clean him all over, his feet and his hands and his fingernails. Did you ever notice a corpse as it lays in the funeral parlor? Is generally their hands are manicured. There's no grease or dirt under the fingernails, because the undertaker takes care that the corpse be clean for viewing. You can wash that corpse and make that corpse clean, but you can't wash life into the corpse. Can't wash life into it. It's a dead body, void of light. You cannot wash life into the corpse. God must say to the corpse, we're walking dead men, dead in trespasses and in sin. Oh, you can dress up a dead man and put flowers on his chest, but you can't make that dead corpse live. Only God can do that. Regeneration, that's what I'm talking about. Regeneration is not of the will of man. Let there be light, and there was light. Regeneration is not of the will of man or of blood or the will of the flesh, but by the power and energy of the Holy Ghost of God. That's where it lies. Now, if you desire to be saved this morning, if there's somebody here, young or old, if you desire to be saved by the grace of God, and you look to Him and to Him alone, that desire and that look came from God because He gave you light. It didn't come from you. It came from God. You see, if your soul this morning, listen to me now, if your soul longs after light, if your soul desires light, then I conclude it has some light already. Huh? If you long to be saved, if you long to have light, there's a possibility that you already have it. Huh? There's a possibility that you already have it. If you desire to be saved by the grace of God, and you've renounced all efforts of your own and turned your back on your efforts and your righteousness and deeds of the law, if you've done all that and you desire to be saved by Christ alone, looks to me like you have light. Huh? Because light comes in order that you might perceive that there's no hope in yourself. If you renounce everything in yourself, pertaining to yourself and about yourself, and desire to be saved by the nail-scarred hands of the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Looks to me like you already have life. See, it's an instant thing. Now, it didn't take God 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, or 6 days to create the world. Didn't take Him that long. It was done just like this. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And the first creation is typical of the second creation. And when you're saved in an instant. Not going to take God 40 years to save you. If He gives you light, then you know who you are. And if He gives you light, you'll renounce what you are and renounce yourself and trust in Him and Him alone. He says, I might say if He says, if He says this morning to your soul, light be. If He says that, if you've had these inklings and desires and hopes to be saved by the grace of God through the Lord Jesus Christ, it's because you have light. Over here in the book of, let me read this to you, the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let me read this. Listen to this now. If our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. They've got no light. God has bypassed them. They haven't got any light and they're lost. If the gospel is hid, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Listen to this now. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Now, let me ask you this question. Has God commanded the light to shine out of darkness? Has it shined in your heart to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ? Do you know who Christ is? Do you know what He accomplished? If you know who He is, if you know that when He finished the work that the Father gave Him to do, He accomplished redemption by His doing, by His suffering, and by His dying, by His paying the debt that I owed as a sinner. If I can believe and trust my soul to Him, then the light of the glory of God has shined in the face of Jesus Christ into my heart. Oh, listen. If He says this morning to your soul, light be. No matter how dark the sinner's mind is, He'll act instantaneous. He'll feel some emotions and affections in his heart, and his heart will begin to melt. Has God set to motion your emotions and affections? Has your heart become sensitive to Him? Can you say in your very soul, He loved me, gave Himself for me. If you can say that, yourself in your soul, He loved me. He loved me and gave Himself for me. It's because that the light, who God commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined into your hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. God help you. God help me. I have light, and I have life. It's all because of the sovereign disposal of God. And He's made me the recipient of life and light. Without God doing that, I wouldn't have a spark of light in my soul. So I praise Him and thank Him this morning that God gave me grace in Christ before the world was. And in His time, He came in the person of His Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, and He said unto my soul, let there be light. And the light shined into my heart. And Jesus Christ became altogether lovely to me. And in my heart, I was able to say, He only is my rock and my salvation. He only. He is my all and all. Has God done that for you? If He hadn't done that for you, there's not a spark of life and light in you. And you can't make God do anything about it. We're in His hands. We're shut up to God. That's all there are to it. Let's stand. We'll be dismissed. Meet again this evening. If it doesn't come 6 inches of snow.